last 2 weeks. This is the third and final episode of the new humanity, fully being fully human. And so in way of review, looking at scripture, I'm going to buzz through these kind of quick. 1 Corinthians 15:45, call this the resurrection chapter. That's my title. So it is written, the first Adam is a what? A living being. The second Adam or the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Do you see what Paul's saying here? Adam was created. Second Adam was the creator. At first Adam's like the moon. All he can do is reflect. All he can do is bear an image. The second Adam is the image. The last Adam is the source. And so in the old humanity, the first Adam that you were in and I was in and all of humanity was in, he couldn't do anything about it. That's why when Cain killed Abel and Abel's blood cried from the ground, it cried for judgment. It cried for eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But when Jesus, the second Adam, the last Adam, the life-giving spirit, Father, forgive them, they know not what to do. And he breathes the spirit into his creation. And just as a point of thought, Acts chapter 2, Peter says, they're not drunk like you think they are, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. For as it was spoken in the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon... What'd you say? All flesh. Not some flesh. All flesh. Okay. And so in the second Adam, we've been looking at, this is the new humanity. This is the born again humanity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for I've determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This isn't just Paul talking about the atoning act of God when he pursues and has pursued from the beginning of time, before time. He pursues us and then he comes and he pays the penalty of death. Yes, he was crucified, but it also, what Paul I believe is saying more so, is that he is portraying the character and nature of God. We serve a cruciform Christ. The Greek word is kenosis or kenotic. It means a self-emptying. This is who God is. We didn't know that before. We know it now. And the reason we know it now is because of this. God who spoke in various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers. Have you started reading some of the fathers? Have you started reading some of the mothers? Maximus the Confessor, Gregory of Nyssa, Clement, Origen, Polycarp, let's get some women in there, Julian of Norwich, right? These incredible brothers and sisters who share with us, who are so much closer to the writers of Scripture and the way that they had it passed down. And so when I say to you a Western gospel, there is an Eastern gospel. There are more atonement theories than just the one we've been taught. There are. Well, the one I've been taught's right. Is it? Read the fathers. And so God spoke to our fathers in times past by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by who? Has anyone else seen the Father? Jesus said no. He's only seen the Father. He's inapproachable light. Who he has appointed heir of all things, the second Adam is the universal heir of all things, whom also he made the world. All things were created by him. How many things were created by him? All things. Are you worried about aliens? Are you worried about UFOs? Are you worried about alternative life forms and other galaxies that are going to come and somehow wield their power against us? I'm not saying that like there isn't life forms, or whether they're spirits, or whether they're from the other dimension. All I know is this, is he created all things, and by him all things exist. It's not outside of the parameters of his authority and the reconciliation of all things. That's good news. He appointed heir of all things through whom he also made the worlds. And he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory. What does the invisible God look like? Jesus. What is God's way? Jesus. How does God respond to the weak and the desperate and the sinner and the outcast? Look at Jesus. How does God respond to people who are religious? Who think they're better than other people? He is the exact representation. He's not most like God. Moses was like God, learned how to know the ways of God. Elijah must have known God well. He was taken up in a whirlwind. Adam knew God. He walked with him in the court. But Jesus is the exact representation. When you see Jesus, Jesus said, you've seen my Father. I and the Father are one. I do nothing except I see the Father do it. So when you express the scriptures, when you express Jesus, are you expressing the way of Jesus, the exact representation of his nature? And so he upholds things by the word of his power, all things. All right, last scripture we looked at, Ephesians 4. He gave some to be, this is entitled the new humanity. You're a part of that. Everyone's a part of that. We're being transformed into his image as one humanity under the federal head of Jesus. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until, what was that song we just sang? I know how this story ends. We sang it. I know how this story, now you took that as a fight. You're in a fight and you're fighting Goliath and you took it all for yourself and God's going to be faithful to you and you're going to make it through. Hallelujah. You're going to make it through. You are. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. The whole cosmos is being moved toward and in the vortex of the reconciliation of God. And he's bringing all of humanity into this knowledge of the Son of God. Doesn't scripture say the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the seas? It's going to happen. The question is how? How's he going to bring that about? Is he going to just, he's coming back and he's going to whoop up on some people. He's going to whoop up. Thankfully he's not going to whoop up on me. I said the prayer. I'm glad this thing grew up and I can look over Nineveh and I can get shade and be protected while God just takes them all out. Woo! Do it, Lord. Magnify your name. Magnify your name. Call it fire. Fire. Fire on those sinners. He's bringing all of humanity into the mature humanity, into the measure of the fullness of Christ, the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that was our scriptures. Jesus is the new humanity. He's the last Adam. He's the new creation. He's what it means to be fully human. Jesus shows us what God is like. By dying as a human being, self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love. And if he is making humanity in that image, or if he's making you in that image, we start to take on self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love. Sin is anything that is contrary to that nature. Jesus is perfect theology. So this is just the reality of what you're in. Let the new life of the new covenant, of the new creation, of the new humanity, and let it blossom in your life. Peter says, God has blessed us with a couple spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Eddie, all. God has blessed us with all. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Man, you're going to be rich. You're going to have a new home. You're going to have a new car. You're going to have multiple houses. People are going to just clamor to know you. You're going to be a social media giant. You are going to be an influencer. God has given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. People are going to envy you from afar. You are going to sit on the thrones of Jacob, of David, and you are just going to be worshipped for the incredible God-like person you are. That's why God gave us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I saw a face like this. Good, because that's nonsense. Next verse says this, for he has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places so that through his precious promises we might be conformed to his image. Like Paul said, I've got this body of death stuck to me. That's what they would do to criminals, is if you killed somebody, they would tie their body onto your body. And they would send you out into the desert so that eventually the death that was on that body would eventually get on you and in you. I mean, maggots starting to eat that thing, and then it on your skin, and disease on that's on your body. Paul says, this is the body I'm carrying around. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So, that is why we can let this blossom in our lives. So last week was the grand vision. If you were here, if not, if you care, you can go online. The grand vision is that it was eventually God was going to show us that everyone was included. Everyone. How many people here have Jewish descent, Jewish blood in you, and you know it? Don't be embarrassed, Cody. If I would have said, how many of you have a tie? Cody would be like, yeah, pasta for Joe. I said, how many of you are Jewish? She's like, all right, Cody has Jewish blood. Penny has Jewish blood. You're like a quarter, right? Better than nothing. Diane, you raised your hand. 1%. You even think that's worthy of raising your hand. 1%. 1%. Anybody else? Jim, you got Jewish blood in you?
Yeah, my grandfather.
Grandpa, I knew there was something special about you. All right. Well, that's all well and good. Let's see. 1%, 25%. Grandfather, that's what? 10 maybe? If that. 50%. God, tell me. 100%. 100% Ashkenazi Jew. Wow. I'll tell you. So that really makes me the only full-blooded Jew covenant, one under the covenant in this whole sanctuary. The rest of you are called Gentiles. Let me translate. Heathen. Let me translate. Dirt balls who don't have a covenant with God. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was like in the Old Testament, because we looked at the scripture. You are a chosen people, Israel, descendants of Abraham. You are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. I've called you out of all the peoples of the earth to be my personal possession. That word means like hand money. Like I got you in my pocket. I like to keep like God's wad of money. And he says, I got you people and all the nations of the world. They've got their gods. They've got their other gods. They worship other gods. But you are my people. This happened at Babel. And he says, you're a chosen people. Why? To proclaim the virtues, to proclaim the excellencies of called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once, okay, well, this is Peter now talking to Gentiles. I don't want to get you all excited yet. So the grand vision of God that nobody knew was that this wasn't just for an elite, exclusive group of people, that this was for the whole world. But if you said that to a Jew, they'd say, you're nuts. You're crazy. No way. But today you're like, no, this Jesus thing, this Christian thing's for us. We don't know what them Jews are doing. We haven't this year yet, but we've been playing Ultimate Frisbee up at that field that's below Wash High Field, kind of connected to Presbyterian Church, and we go up and we play Ultimate. This one day it was raining like crazy, and so we came here, a bunch of us, and we came in and we went in my office. I turned on the air conditioner, and one of the girls who was there is looking around my office, and she starts to get this confused look on her face. And she says, Rob, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She's like, aren't you the pastor of this church? And I said, yeah. And she's like, why do you have a menorah on your bookcase? She couldn't put that together. Because this is a Christian church. So she couldn't put together this idea because Jesus is a Protestant. Jesus is a Catholic. Right? What are you doing with a menorah? It's like, that don't mix. That's like oil and water. It's like oil and vinegar. They just don't go together. This one time I was talking with somebody. I can't even remember who or where it was. I know I shared this story with you. But they were talking about Jesus and how, Christianity and Gentiles and everything. And I said, you do know Jesus was Jewish, right? And he's like, yeah, until he converted. Right? You breathe that air. You are so familiar with Christianity being a Gentile religion. It was not that way. You were grafted in. It wasn't always known. But when Jesus came and shared the grand vision of God, he said, you're going to go and you are going to take this gospel, this good news. They didn't hear it, but he said it. He said it multiple times. Let me say that again. Jesus said things multiple times that they heard with their ears, but they never heard with their spirits. Because he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore go into all nations, making disciples, baptizing. And they heard it with their ears, but they didn't hear it with their hearts. Because what happened with Peter? Years later. Right? And we talked about Cornelius, and we talked about, he's like, no. Okay? And so, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, did not yet apprehend the light that Gentiles were included in the great reconciliation, the grand vision. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, could not grasp that God could love a circle bigger than the circumference he had. And that they were included. And so that's what that was about, that grand vision last week. So this week, today, the part of the episode we're going to go into here is willing participation. Willing participation in the new humanity. God is not a manipulator. God does not coerce. Why would God want your love that is coerced? He accepts it. I mean, like, how many in this sanctuary this morning, if God said, you know what, don't even worry about hell, you'd run off and you'd go do your own thing. You'd eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you die. Hey, no consequences. Who cares? Do you know what that does? It reveals if you really love God or you're just serving him under coercion. That's maybe probably how you were introduced. That's how I was introduced to God. Is, do you want to turn or do you want to burn? Great love story. And so God is all about willing participation. He doesn't care about the praise of our lips if our heart is far from him. And so is he going to put his boot on our necks and make us force out a confession? Jesus is Lord. That's not what love is or what love does. And so today is willing participation. This new humanity that has been objectively ratified, that has been inaugurated through the coming of the Son of Man, through the incarnation, and through it is finished. The new humanity has begun. The question is humanity willingly participating in it? And that's why I said 2 weeks ago, I said, I wish I could have taken 3 hours and I could have done all this together. Because it all goes together so nicely, in my opinion. And so today is willing participation. When you were born, did you have a choice in that? You are the product of two other people's choices. You are the fruit of two other people's choices. It might have been a decision that was, hey, it's time for us to have kids. It might have been a one-night affair or one-night escapade. It may have been a relationship with that have people been together and they eventually divorced. It doesn't matter. You were brought into this world, not a choice of your own. Okay? And because you were brought into this world and you did not have a choice of your own, you were born into the death of Adam, the first Adam. You were in Adam, the first Adam, Adam and Eve. You are born into the federal headship of the first Adam, and you were born into death. The day you were born, you would inevitably die. We're born in death. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We all die. You were born of the will of a human father and mother. You were born into death. You do not truly begin to live until you learn how to die. Let me put it in Jesus' words. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you seek to lose your life, you'll find it. And that's a play on words. If you look at the original Greek, it's the one life is psuche, which is your Adam life. It's your soul life. And the other life is zoe. It's God life. It's uncreated life. So are you born into this Adam? You're born into this Adam. You're born into death. And until God starts to open up your eyes and God starts to turn the lights on, we all strive for things to fill this life, and we always come back empty until we begin to learn and follow the way of Jesus, kinetic, self-giving love, that fulfillment, it is more blessed to... We don't believe that. It is more blessed to give life than it is to receive life. I used to think money can't buy happiness. I was wrong. Money can buy happiness. You know how? Give it away. Give it away. Do you want joy? Give away your stuff. Do you want joy when you're driving and you see somebody on the side of the road and something's wrong? And it's a situation where you believe you can help and you get back in your car. You will hear God say, "That a boy, that a girl, you're learning." The Dead Sea, aptly named. Do you know why it's dead? Just takes from the Jordan River. Lowest place, I believe, on the face of the earth. just takes. Rich. The minerals in that sea are so valuable, but it's dead. Nothing can live in it because it takes. But all of life teaches us that when we learn how to voluntarily die, because it's involuntary when you're born, it's involuntary as you grow, it's involuntary as you start to learn this nature that you have that always wants, and we live in the want capital of the universe, America, like consumerism, like we don't even see it, that we're caught up in American consumerism, that true life comes from when you lay this stuff down. Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He did not say it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven. He said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, the gate, because he can't carry all his stuff through the gate. He's got to lay it down to get through the gate to know what life is about. So you're born, the whole point of this is it's involuntary. Involuntary. The first Adam was only a living soul. He couldn't give you life. You were born into death. All right. Now here's where a lot of us differ. Okay. But I'm making the case that you are also involuntarily born again in Christ. Just like you were involuntarily born into the first Adam, what God's redemptive plan was had nothing to do with your will for the humanity that he created. Whether you agree or disagree, at least consider this spiritual reality, this potential spiritual reality, that when Christ came and all of humanity was in the first Adam, all of humanity is in the second Adam, and when Jesus died, all of humanity died because of death. That's why he took on flesh, to deal with death. And when he took on death, he was buried, he was raised, and the scripture says when he was raised, we were raised. You weren't around when it happened. All of humanity in Christ. And when he sat down at the right hand of the Father after he descended, we, all of humanity, ascended. By whose will? Wasn't your will? His will. Wasn't your will when you were born? Wasn't your will when he born again? Humanity became born again. When you were born into life. Second Adam is a life-giving spirit. He's the one who can give life. So, here's where we get to the voluntary participation for you to become fully human. Because it's already been provided for. It's already, there are different walks. Are there 7-8 billion people on the face of the earth now? Everybody is in Christ, but not everybody expresses that image yet. It may take a billion years. I don't know. But here's how we willingly participate. We start to go from what the Greek words are gnosis. That's where we get the word gnostics, which means knowledge. Okay? And the Greek word epinosis is what's called experiential knowledge, or knowledge that you have actually acquired through living. Okay? And so when you voluntarily participate in God's kingdom, in God's life, in your relationship with your Creator and your Savior and Good Shepherd, you start to recognize that you are apprehending something. And Paul talks about that. He says, but forgetting the things are which are behind me, I press toward the goal, the high calling in Christ. He says, but I haven't apprehended it yet, but I'm on the journey. You know, we talk about baptisms in the Holy Spirit or baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then there's other baptisms in the Holy Spirit. This is all a process through which God is creating in us His image. And we're gaining these revelations that we think are euphoric, and they are, and they're just apocalyptic, unveiling, and our eyes are open to so many things, and we're transformed. But what's happening is what was always an objective truth, that Jesus said it is finished, is that we start to subjectively participate in that reality. More and more. So, when were you born again? When was I born again? I said these words in 1980, now it might be 1984, I just found my membership paper. I found my membership paper. My membership paper, when I became a member of this church, it was, I think it said October or September of 85. Which means that I couldn't have gotten saved in September of 85 because I would have been a member right when I got saved, when I said the prayer. So I was probably saved in 84. And that messes with me. Because all this time I thought I was saved when I was 21. But anyway. So if you ask me, when were you born again? Well, that's when I started to go into Andy Phillips' house, and he was my buddy, and his crazy mother would be talking about Jesus and how God healed her husband of a heart attack, and she'd tell me stories of other people who would be healed, and I'd be laughing inside because I had enough respect for people that I wouldn't laugh in their face. But I was thinking, this woman's crazy. She thinks that God's her friend. But God was turning my light on. God was turning my light on. Who do men say that I am, boys? Some say you're John the Baptist. Do I look like John the Baptist? Some say you're Elijah back from the dead. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. Did you ever think about that? So why does Peter get a revelation so that he can go to heaven? And other people don't. Who gave him the revelation? Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my... So who gave Peter the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah? So did God pick Peter to go to heaven? Did God pick Peter out of all the people of the earth and send other people to hell? Some of you might want to consider becoming Calvinists. Because that's the groove there. All right. So when I started, the lights started to be turned on. Father was turning on the lights in my heart. Paul, when he was Saul, said this. He said, when I was on the road to Damascus, I saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. And Jesus said, why are you persecuting me, Saul? And I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. And then in Galatians, he says this. He tells the story. And he says, when God in his providence, when God in his sovereignty decided to reveal Christ in me, not to me, in me. Paul's the one who says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. He already had Christ in him. God just was turning the lights on to the reality that I was not born again. Paul was not born again. When he sees the reality, Paul, me, you, all of humanity is born again in the birth, death, resurrection, ascension of our federal head, the second Adam. That's when humanity is born again. That is objective reality. We like to say, the facts don't care about your feelings. Right? Facts don't care about your feelings. I don't care how you feel about it. This is truth. Well, I could say this to you here. This is the way I see Scripture. This is how I see the revelation. Well, you're weird, Pastor. Do you know anybody else that feels that way? That's what some people say to me. Do you know any other people that feel that way? I say, yeah, let me introduce you to the entire Eastern Church. Let me introduce you to the fathers. Let me introduce you to the first, second, third, fourth, fifth century church. That this is what they taught until Rome got a hold of it. And then it became the Western gospel. Yeah. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy that he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through what? Your confession. The resurrection. That's truth. I don't care how you feel about it. Truth don't care about your feelings. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, and all the Western American evangelicals said, amen, because we like that. So also, the one righteous act resulted in justification and life for? Yeah, we don't like that. Take that out. For just through the disobedience of one man, the first Adam, some translations say many were made sinners. I keep addressing this because people bring this up. Well, in the context of that scripture, how many were made sinners? All. The answer is all. Paul just uses the term the many. Some scriptures, translations say, for just through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. The is much better. It grabs the context and the word. But I like the many, the whole. We're all made sinners. We're all that. But how many were made righteous? All the many. So voluntarily participating is the issue. Learning to love the good shepherd is the issue. The kingdom is about being transformed into the image on a gradual basis through which we behold the beauty of God and we are transformed into that likeness. And some of humanity is not participating right now. Just like you don't participate on certain days. And so we're going from gnosis to epinosis. What was always objective truth is becoming subjective truth to you, subjective to you. In other words, it's you're apprehending it. Look at how Paul or whoever wrote this, they're not sure who wrote Hebrews, but look at how he says this in light of who's apprehending and who's not, who's mixing it with faith and who's not. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us. Amen. Just like they did. Who's they? He's talking about the Jews coming out of Egypt into the wilderness. But the message that they heard was of no value to them. Why was it not of value to them? Because they did not mix it or share it with faith. They didn't trust it. They hadn't repented, changed their mind. They were still slaves in their mind. They were still caught up in a wrong thinking of who God was. Now we who have believed, repented, we enter rest. What rest? This is so beautiful. Just as God said, I declared with an oath in my anger, they will never enter my rest. What? You mean never? Like they're done? Those poor people out in the wilderness, millions of Jews that came out, they're done. They're going to hell. No, they couldn't trust God that he was good. And so they died in this life. And they never entered rest in their life. It's just like you and I don't enter rest when we are not trusting God. Our culture has so much anxiety. Our culture has so much stress. Our culture has so much of that. And we don't enter rest. Why? How and when do you enter rest? When you trust and repent of your thinking and you think now like God, you get the mind of Christ. And look at this, what it says. They didn't believe it. They didn't enter into it. But yet his works have been finished since when? He's saying it, what they were trying to subjectively apprehend had already been finished. The rest on the seventh day was already given by God. All they had to do was trust. All they had to do was learn to walk. But they couldn't, and the works were finished. Same with us. The works were finished on Calvary. Jesus said, it is finished. You remember the Emancipation Proclamation in our country? This is when we had a civil war. And did the North win? The good thing that came out of it was this, is the Emancipation Proclamation. And what's the Emancipation Proclamation? When Abraham Lincoln said, all men are free. All men are free. Or if I could put it this way, it is finished. Abraham Lincoln said, slavery, finished. Done. No more. Did slavery end that day? Depends what state you lived in. Depends who your master was. Depends how you thought. If you were an African American. I don't know. He's talking about us being free. My reality isn't free. Do you know that in some places, for 30, 40, 50 years, slaves were still being slaves because their masters never let them in on the reality? But objectively, it was true. They just hadn't subjectively been able to participate. When Jesus said it's finished, humanity was set free. But many of us just choose not to willingly participate. Because we still believe in our minds the taskmaster. We still believe the accuser. We still believe the liar. The one who tells us all this crazy stuff about who we are and who God is and how he feels about us and all of humanity. We have to go, as we voluntarily participate, step by step into this Emancipation Proclamation, a reformation of the reality of the objective truth of what Jesus accomplished. So this new humanity, this is what it looks like, because this is who Jesus is. And you're probably thinking, man, I sure wish other people would participate. That's good. Not your responsibility. You can't change anybody. I can't change anybody. But God's Spirit, as he comes into your life, and he's in you, and he gets you while you're driving, he gets you while you're sleeping, he gets you when you're in a relationship with friends, he gets you when someone cuts you off on the road, when he wants to deal with your road rage, when he looks at how you treat your spouse, when he looks at how you deal with money, when he looks at, and he slowly turns the lights on, and he slowly shows you his character and nature of kinetic, other-centered, other giving love for other people. And he tries to rip from you in his love. That's what his fiery love is. That's what his wrath is. His wrath is against everything that keeps you from becoming fully human. And why? Because 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love does not keep a record wrongdoing. Do you do that? Who's he talking about? Who is love? This is the character and the nature of the fully human one. Who is revealing the character and nature of God? Will you continue to go through your day thinking God is keeping account of your wrongs? Will you continue to go through your day thinking that God is keeping account of other people's wrongs? Paul says this ministry of reconciliation, we have been given this ministry of reconciliation through which we cry out, you're reconciled to God. He's not holding you account of your sins. Why? Because the second Jesus, the last Jesus, took care of that issue. All you have to do is repent and believe it. Be free. Think correctly. The Beatitudes. Do you really think Jesus was making a list of things that we need to live up to? Or is this something that through a relationship with Him, we're being transformed into? Back to somebody punching me in the face. What am I supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. I'll turn your cheek. Something has been yet to be formed in me. I can say with my mouth, Lord, forgive them, they know not what they do. But in my heart, I want to punch you back in the face. Why? Because Christ needs formed in me. Because the character and the nature of the fully human one can get punched in the face, have his beard ripped out, have thorns put on his head, mocking him in his coronation, and a reed in his hand, and he can fully be who he is and not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he doesn't open his mouth. And he's up on the cross, and he can, of all the fullness of his nature, say, it's okay, Father. They're dumb. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who I am. And so we sit there and we go, oh, people are cursing me, and I'm supposed to love them. I can't. I know you can't. Because we still try to do it in the first Adam. Willingly participate, lay it down, go, God, I hate that person. He knows. You can't fool Father. Willingly participate. Go, Lord, I can't love this individual, so you're going to have to change my heart. That's a good prayer. That's a wonderful prayer. Lord, I like when Trace was talking about addictions. Lord, I can't get free from this. You're going to have to do it. You will enter into rest. That's who God is. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Now, you don't have to do it again because I realize it's 12. But I got to finish. I won't be here next week. Faithfulness. If you were to get on your phone right now, and you were to, I say this all the time, if you were to say to Mr. Google, and you would say, hey Siri, show me the lexicon of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And you look on there and you go down to the fruit of the Spirit is love, faith, faithfulness. You know what the word is in Greek? It's pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And if you look it up anywhere else, you will see the lexicon. It says this. It says faith. Faith that comes from God. Faith that cannot be procured by a human being. Faith given to us by God Himself, because that's His character and His nature. And so if you want to talk about faith and your faith and how you use it to apprehend things where other people don't, it's not your faith. You've just been willingly participating in this to a measure in that area that other people haven't. So my question is, if God's the one that let Peter know, faith and blood, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father's in heaven, and faith is given by God as a gift to humanity for us to know Him and to grow in His likeness, and Jesus said things, no man can come to me unless my Father, do we read the same scriptures, right? No man can come to me unless my Father draws them. Jesus said to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Okay, so if God's doing all this choosing, do you hear me bite my tongue? If God is doing all this choosing, why isn't he choosing everyone? He did. He did choose everyone. Read Ephesians again. Try and put on those glasses. And see where he's chose us in him before the foundation. My point is if God is choosing one and he's not choosing another, it's unjust. Especially if the consequence is eternal fiery conscious torment. And so this new humanity that God is making is his likeness. And he did this before the foundations of the world. Welcome to the story. I know how this story ends. You know how this story ends. Taking on the likeness in the way of Jesus. One new humanity. So what's the difference between a person who is living in fear and a person that's living in peace? They're willingly participating. If you read Isaiah chapter 1 through 5, you will read, woe is this, woe is that, woe on the earth, woe is this, woe, W-O-E, woe, 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 woe. And then you get to Isaiah chapter 6, and he says, I was in the Spirit, and I saw the temple and the Lord's filled the temple and its train filled the temple, and I saw the seraphim and the cherubim, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And the, what's the rest? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And the whole earth full of your glory. Wait a minute. I just read Isaiah 1 through 5 and it was woe, woe, whoa. And now I go up into the heavenlies and it's the whole earth. It's full of your glory. What's the difference? Where you're looking at it from. From where you see it. From what perspective. So quit watching Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. And you'll stop being a prophet of woe. So this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the good, glad, merry news that makes a man jump for joy. The new humanity. Participate in it. Share with people that they get to participate in it too. And that God is not holding their sins against them. That he's paid for it. And all they have to do is start thinking like God's mind. Welcome to the club, Gentiles. Glad to have you. At one time, we did not think you were involved. But then God had to open our eyes to the reality that his love has no boundaries. We had the boundaries. That truly the height, depth, breadth, and width of his love for us was much greater. God, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or has it entered the heart of man, the things that, oh, but we figured it out. We figured out. We've captured infinite. We've captured infinity. We've done it. Father, thank you for the beauty of this reality. I thank you that the whole earth is full of your glory right now. That's objective reality. But is it subjective truth to us? What do we see? I thank you, Lord, that you are reconciling all things to yourself in heaven and on earth. I thank you that every knee is going to bow in heaven and earth, and they're to declare you as Lord. I thank you that, Lord. I thank you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Father, help us see. Turn the lights on. Give us that flesh and blood hath not revealed it to us, but our Father which is in heaven, revelation. Give us the apocalypse, Lord, that opens our eyes and lifts the veil. And Father, fill our hearts with the abundance of your love for your humanity as you see it. Let our hearts burn with the same fervency that your heart burns for them, Lord. Let us see with your eyes the beauty of every image bearer that we come in contact with or could ever be in contact with. And we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen to your new humanity. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.